In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Frieda Marie, let us continue. At the 5 o'clock service last night, I said, nothing's changed. Everybody is still seated where they were when I left. And at the 8 o'clock service, nobody has changed. They were all seated when I left. And here, other than you all that normally were over there, I remember, everybody's in the same place. And how reassuring is that? That's just terrific. Delighted to be here. This past weekend, Bill and I went up to the North Shore outside of Boston to be with both children, their spouses, and our 3 grandchildren, ages 2.5, 1 year, and 8 weeks. It was the first time we have all been together, literally under one roof. And I would call it, in the best sense of the word, holy chaos. But that's not the subject of my sermon. Rather, it was in the worst sense of the word, the chaotic drive up to the North Shore that caught my attention. And believe me, I will relate it to the gospel. But first, I want to take a poll. Are you with me? Out of curiosity, how many of you use Google Maps on your road trips? Good, raise your hands high, good. And keep them up. Okay, the follow-up question is, how many of you trust that technology and unconditionally follow the directions? 1, 2. 1, 2. Talk to me after the sermon. I ask because the drive to the North Shore on a good day is 8 hours, and there are a fair number of routes we might take. But what I found was when the map voice came on announcing there is a delay ahead and asked, would you like to be rerouted? I really tended to say no. I did not trust changing course in midstream and going a different way. And in hindsight, it makes me wonder how much time I might have saved by taking the risk to listening to that voice. But I doubted the source. Are you with me? I doubted the source. That universal human element of doubt overrode my confidence in Google. And because we are in church today, that leads me to ask the question, if a universal human element is having doubt, a universal element of Christianity? Today we encounter the well-known disciple Peter, an icon of theological doubt. In this text from Matthew, Peter is reluctant to believe that Jesus is who he claims. And in the midst of a storm, Jesus invites Peter to get out of the boat and come towards him. Initially, Peter does. But then Peter loses his faith and begins to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus responds by reaching out his hand and saying, you of little faith, do not doubt. Theological doubt. It is a favorite subject of mine to preach from the pulpit. I have found during my time as a priest that there is a stigma about this topic. Parishioners can be timid to express their doubts about certain aspects of their faith, and even at times about some of the fundamental teachings of the church. The stigma can make it hard for people to initiate conversations with clergy about their questions. In addition, there are some priests who are very uncomfortable even broaching the subject. I'm not one of them. I think speaking openly about doubt holds the possibility of enriching and deepening our faith. I sometimes refer to doubt as a sacrament, obviously with the little s for sacrament, but it elevates the topic to a substantial level, reflecting its importance for our overall faith journey. Incorporating doubt as a spiritual resource can enliven our pilgrimage. A faith journey should be an organic one. Times that marinate with activity, or times of wrestling, or times of Sabbath, or times of doubt, and times of insight. So what does sacramental doubt look like? It is flavored with curiosity and wondering. Being able openly to say, I'm not sure I really believe that, so let's explore it together. It's an invitation to move deeper into unknown territory, and it draws us into being able to say boldly, without stuttering, I don't know. It is truth-telling to your soul and to those around you. It asks questions, encourages conversation and mutual dialogue. And finally, it allows us to escape from a binary faith of, I believe this and I do not believe that. Sacramental doubt inserts a gray area between the two that is tinged with mystery and awe, a place to utilize our imagination for things sensed but not proven. Doubt steers away from either or towards maybe. And let me be clear that for some, a place of maybe, of welcoming doubt, can be a very uncomfortable place. And yet for others, it can be restful or rejuvenating. The theologian Leslie Hazelton wrote, without the willingness to find yourself lost, while yes, you won't make mistakes, but you won't make discoveries either. I love that. Without the willingness to find yourself lost, while yes, you won't make mistakes, but you won't make discoveries either. To incorporate doubt into your life can mean the routine of your faith may be upended with surprises and blessings. Let's go back to the story of the disciple Peter and the role doubt played. Peter began to doubt, and then that doubt led to Peter's fear, which led to Jesus' rescue, which then led to Peter's faith. Doubt led to faith. This is the kind of sacramental doubt I'm talking about. Once again, referencing Miss Hazelton's book, stay for this, in a chapter she entitles, In Doubt We Trust, she draws a distinction between belief and faith. She writes, where belief tries to expel doubt, faith walks with doubt, offering no easy answers. Belief insists, while faith hopes and trusts. Belief demands, but faith is freely given, and this freedom is both difficult and stubborn. I love that word, stubborn. Our faith can be stubborn. It involves an ongoing struggle, a continual questioning of what we know, a wrestling with issues and ideas. Faith goes hand in hand with doubt in a never-ending conversation. I like to think of this kind of faith as life-giving. Neuroscientist Stuart Feinstein said, being a scientist requires having faith in uncertainty, finding pleasure in mystery, and learning to cultivate doubt. And I would say the same is true of a Christian. Being a Christian requires having faith in uncertainty, finding pleasure in mystery, and learning to cultivate doubt. Now back to where I started my sermon as it pertains to doubting Google directions. Coming home from the North Shore, the one time I reluctantly said yes to being rerouted was around a traffic backup on the interstate in Connecticut. As a result, Bill and I went through a number of charming little towns on lovely back roads. We appreciated the change of scenery. In one such sweet New England village, we spotted a Subway and decided to stop and order lunch there. At this point, I had no idea where we were. But after placing our order, I casually asked the cashier, "What town are we in?" And he said, "Sandy Hook." It took a moment for that answer to sink in. I gasped, realizing this was the location of the massacre, school shooting 11 years ago. My initial reaction was guttural, one of horror. But then slowly I became aware in that very moment that the raw trauma they had experienced a decade ago had seemingly evolved in such a peaceful and quaint little community that was palpable as we drove in. A beautiful symbol of the resurrection. For me, it was a holy moment, the result of a divine detour, if you will. And maybe this is what the author Hazelton meant when she wrote, "Without the willingness to find yourself lost, while you won't make mistakes, but you won't make discoveries either." Amen.